Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pete, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Well, the Buckeyes held on for dear life, right, against Penn State. So feeling good. Now they're playing a bunch of scrubs the next few weeks, so that'll be easy to pile. Oh, well, not easy, but hopefully they'll pile up.
Indiana's 4-1. 4-1.
Yeah, they're fine. Well, listen, you know, Pete, I know you've been saying there's really only four teams, but did Penn State prove they belong near the top of
absolutely.
The conference?
Yeah, you know what? That was the key to that game, and the thing that seems to bear out is that these games are long. And at the end of the day, Ohio State had more talent, and that's where recruiting kicks in. And that's where, you know, everyone loved Dwayne Haskins, and obviously, you know, he came through in the clutch when they needed him to, and the defense rose up late. But he also got the ball in the hands of his NFL, you know, caliber running backs. He got the ball to his elite, you know, four and five star receivers. And this is where that's why you got to put, when you talk about just pure talent, yeah, it's actually, I want to say it's a three-team race between Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, just because on just pure talent alone, those three teams beat everybody else. And then there's Oklahoma and Clemson just a little bit behind them. But to your point, it'll be a really interesting theoretical argument if, let's say, Ohio State goes 13-0 and wins the Big Ten championship, and let's say Penn State beats Wisconsin, you know, relatively well. Let's say they beat Michigan State, and they go 11-1. If we're starting to talk about the whole four best team theory, that was a good enough game where if Ohio State's, let's say, again, the number two seed in the college football playoff, well, how do you dog Penn State for that game when they played that well and proved that they're as good as anybody in the country?
Should James Franklin be getting criticized as much as he is for that last fourth and five call?
I kind of think, you know, that everything else worked, that call didn't. And obviously, when you have come up with a bad play call and just doesn't work in spectacular fashion, that's what everyone's going to focus on. I'm a little more focused on the fact that he got his team within a point of beating this great Ohio State team, and that they got that close. And this is a team that is rebuilding a little bit, and it's really, really good. But he's right. You know what? I know he got dogged for the post-game press conference, but I kind of loved it. You know, he's right. That's the difference between, you know, if you don't have all the five-star talent, certainly they've recruited well, but that's why Alabama is Alabama, for example, is that that's the whole game, maybe in front of the process, but they don't lose two games a year. They don't lose those games for, you know, with a little slight mistake. That's why the taskmaster side of that combined with the talent makes such a difference. So I get it from that side of it. I get that the fact that there is a difference between, yeah, if you lose by 1 point, you lost. Doesn't matter. You lost the game, and that's it. But the fact that that team played so well for so long, and that even when the running game gets shut down, Trace McSorley figures out ways. The defense played well until the very end. Just Ohio State made a couple more plays. It was a horrendous play call, but I think he's getting way too dogged for it.
Pete, Nick Saban is, of course, the highest paid public employee in all of the state of Alabama. And in a vacuum, that's obviously ridiculous because a football coach shouldn't be making more money than people that are doing really important things. However, it's Alabama, so what the hell important is happening there? Nick Saban, though, acted like a complete jerk, as usual, when he ripped the fans for not showing up when they played Mary Sisters of the Poor, whoever the Raging Cajuns last week, which I think was just a made-up team from an Adam Sandler movie, The Waterboy. So do you have a problem with Nick Saban's comments, or do you agree with him?
Yeah, I have a problem with that. Like, I had a problem a couple weeks ago, and he's like, hey, media, you know, write something bad about my team. And so they'll start to believe, like, no, dude, it's your job. You're getting paid the $10 million a year. You coach your own damn team, man. Don't make us, like, fire up your team. That's what you're supposed to figure out. And to me, okay, a fan support, he yells at, you know, the fans for leaving early. He yells at the students for being on their phones. He yells at the, like, I went down there a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about during those day games, half that stadium, the way they've now reconfigured it, there's a huge chunk of the stadium that you are in the sun for a solid 4 hours, and there is no break. It is an unrelenting heat. You know, it's like it's one of those heats where you walk out of the, you know, walk out of your car, and it's like someone poured a bucket of water on you. And if you're sitting in that for 4 hours, yeah, that's no fun. Even if you're, you know you're going to go watch crush Louisiana. It's not, that's not his job. You know, his job is to make sure that his team is as good as possible. And all right, if the customers want to come buy the product, all right, they'll come buy the product. But just go in the games, and everything else will take care of from there.
Red River Shootout this weekend, or Showdown, I don't know what they call it. It's a Red
Showdown,
River something.
Showdown, not a shootout. That's politically incorrect, just like you can't have a cocktail party either.
Okay, fair enough. So it's the Showdown. The Texas Long – it's a neutral site game always in at Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, Texas has surprised. You know, after they had the one loss early in the season, they've bounced back. And, you know, Oklahoma had that scare against Army here recently. How do you see this one shaking out?
Yeah, I'm with you, by the way. I cannot say anything but Red River Shootout. It just doesn't seem right, whether it's rivalry or Showdown. It's all real. But you're right. I mean, Texas, name the players. I mean, find the superstars on that team. It's an odd team because this is supposed to be a little bit of a rebuilding year. The Big 12 isn't all that great. They did have the bad performance against Maryland, which really was kind of give a little bit of a free pass too, because it's the first game of the year and they weren't quite tuned up and that fourth quarter was off. But they're playing well. I mean, that defense is doing just fine. The offense is doing enough to get by. And they've got just the right mix where they can muck this up a little bit, slow down Oklahoma just enough, and keep it close. Oklahoma's they're playing well enough. This offense is obviously been great. Kyler Murray is technically and statistically even playing better than Baker Mayfield did last year at this time, although he didn't have to go against Ohio State like Baker did. And this team is just playing all just extremely well, but this game always sort of transcends, you know, this is the cliche, the rivalry, you know, throughout everything else, it's a rivalry. Well, same thing with this. I think it's going to be really close. I think Oklahoma's going to get really pushed hard, though.
Let's talk about another game involving ranked teams. That's LSU in Florida, 3:30 this Saturday. A little trash talking going on. Les Miles said, hey, Steve, on Twitter, yeah, hey, Steve this. Spurrier, how much you want to bet your Gators are going down this weekend? Hashtag game on. And Spurrier shoots back, Coach Les Miles, shoot, we're going to win on Saturday. If we don't, I'll eat some of that grass of yours. When we do win, you're wearing my visor. Hashtag go Gators. Which guy is going to be at the end of this bet?
Latest trash talk ever. It's fun, though. These guys are great. I mean, it's fun to watch, you know, see these guys involved in this and getting fired up about it. I'm going to say this by saying I'm wrong. I'm picking Florida. I know I shouldn't because I've picked LSU every other time this year. This time, they're way overdue to be on the wrong side of one of these close games against a tight team. Florida, they don't have the offensive pop, but they seem to have figured out their formula, and it's working for them. Felipe Franks isn't playing all that poorly. The defense is great. Both teams have great lines. Both teams have NFL-caliber talent on defense. The difference being that right now, this secondary for Florida, if it's not the best in the country, at least talent-wise, it's close to it. I'm not a believer in Joe Burrow. He's been good enough with everything around him. He hasn't been great. It's going to be a close battle. I know home field advantage hasn't mattered over the last 2 years, but I'm going with Florida. I just think that this team is starting to kind of figure it out now under Dan Mullen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I kind of like Florida too. Hey, one other thing I want to ask you about, Pete, is the Kelly Bryant Trevor Lawrence thing. I mean, you're probably tired of talking about that, but you know, obviously, we saw what happened.
No, it's a big story.
It was a close game against Syracuse, and Lawrence gets hurt, and of course he'll be back this week, and everything will probably be fine there. But
Syracuse should have won that game.
Yeah, they choked it away. But either way, do you fault Kelly Bryant for leaving the program?
I don't. It's kind of hard to fault anybody in this, and it's going to be the new norm where we're going to have to kind of figure out. All right, four games. Okay, let's do this. Did he play this game? It's going to be part of the puzzle now from here on. from all sides, it was just a weird situation. Give Dabo credit because he could have very easily have started Kelly Bryant and then said, you know what, I think we're going to go with Trevor Lawrence. And then Kelly Bryant's completely hosed because he loses his game. And meanwhile, Dabo's doing what he can to get his team to win. And at the same time, Bryant needs to do what he's doing for himself. But Trevor Lawrence is the guy. And looking at this long haul, it's they can absolutely have win the bad ACC this year with Kelly Bryant as the quarterback. The problem is, what are you going to do when you get to the college football playoff? You got an arms race going here. You've got Tagovailoa, who's going to be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. You know, Dwayne Haskins is growing into a superstar pro prospect, not to mention all the talent on Ohio State. You got to get the firepower up and going with them. Not to mention Georgia, maybe, with Jake Fromm and that whole team, which is, you know, probably the second most talented team in the country, or Oklahoma with that offense. Or, you know, whoever's going to be in the college football playoff is going to have the firepower and the talent offensively. And Kelly Bryant's good, but Trevor Lawrence could be the number one overall pick 3 years from now. Why not get him 9 games of experience? You can go 12-1, win the ACC championship, and get into the playoff. But what you can't do is luck out a little bit like Alabama did last year and realize at halftime of the national championship, we don't have it. We need to put in something else now and then hope Lawrence saves the day. It was the right move. Lawrence is the future. He's going to be the starter next year no matter what. Good for Kelly Bryant to go on. And look across the landscape right now. Kyler Murray's a transfer. Joe Burrow's a transfer. You know, you have, I think it's something like 8 of the top 25 teams in the country that are starting transfers. It's just part of the norm now, and it's all right. You know, they'll find other quarterbacks. Chase Bryce hit that fourth down throw to keep Clemson alive in that game. Guys come through. It's just going to be part of doing business now.
You know, Pete, I loathe to give Notre Dame any credit because I'm a Notre Dame hater. I hate them. I always root against them. However, they have now beaten 2 ranked teams, including an impressive win over Stanford last week. And the 5 teams that they've beaten, even including the unranked teams, have only combined to lose 4 total games, not including their losses to Notre Dame. Right, I mean, every team they've played is over 500, except for Ball State, who's 2-3. So they've beaten. So it's pretty impressive. They play another ranked team this week on the road in Virginia Tech. Does Notre Dame belong in that conversation?
Yeah. 2 minds on this. You're absolutely right. It's a weird thing for Notre Dame because if you look at it on the micro, the schedule's not that great. I mean, the Michigan game, I think Michigan beats them now. But they beat them. You know, give them credit. They beat a good Michigan team that's getting better and better as the season's going on. You know, they did it. They beat Stanford rather handily. Vanderbilt at least has some, you know, it's an SEC team with some pop. And going forward, if they beat Virginia Tech on the road, all right, they're all right. But Virginia Tech lost Old Dominion. Florida State's not any good, but it's still Florida State. USC's not any good, but that's a road game. The Navy game, I believe, is in San Diego.
Syracuse
is pretty good. So there's not an Ohio State. There's not a Penn State. There's not an Alabama. There's not a true killer on the schedule. But there are a whole lot of body blows there. There are a whole lot of very, you know, good restaurant quality wins. So if they go 12-0, they're in the college football playoff, and then they get obliterated by 45 points by whoever they play. But the key to this team now is they've now figured out their backfield. They didn't have Ian Book to start the season. They was, you know, he got in the mix a little bit, but now they got a guy who's hitting 70-something% of his passes. They didn't have Dexter Williams to start the season. Now they have a home run hitting threat who they missed over the first four games, who's going to turn out to be the next big thing running back that everyone's going to be talking about because he's going to go off for the next, you know, 8 weeks or so. That defense is good enough. It's just a good enough team where they can get through this schedule. I don't think they will. I think they do trip up to a Boston College or a Syracuse or someone like that on the wrong day. But, yeah, if they go 12-0, you know, if you're a fan of Penn State, for example, or maybe the SEC championship loser, if you're a fan of a Power 5 team that's got a real hope to get in the college football playoff, you need Notre Dame to lose. You just need them out of the way on this.
Pete, you think Scott Frost regrets leaving? Because I think I
was just going to ask him if Scott Frost is a fraud.
Is he a fraud?
UCF's undefeated without him. They haven't played anybody, but still.
Is he a fraud?
Yeah, at the end of the day, you want to live in Orlando, Florida, or Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I don't think he makes a lot more money. I mean, I don't think he regrets leaving. But Nebraska just didn't have any talent. Remember, they were really close to beating Colorado. They were really close to beating Troy. I know, you know, horseshoes and hand grenades, but it's not like it's not like UCLA, where UCLA is not even close right now to coming up with a win. Nebraska's at least been in the mix. Now, they'll get rolled this week by a rested Wisconsin team, and they're going to be in for a rough season overall. But they didn't have the talent. They didn't have the line. They didn't have the running game. You don't have the team speed like he had necessarily at UCF. You just didn't have the guys there on defense.
Mackenzie Milton. He's missing Mackenzie Milton, for gosh sakes. This is the guy.
Yeah exactly. So, and Adrian Martinez is good. He's going to be fine in all this. They've got receivers. They've got playmakers. It's just not clicking so far because they don't have the guys up front. All these guys, whether Chip Kelly, UCLA is going to be fine. You know, you do know that, you know, Scott Frost is going to work out here. Just like, you got to give these guys a year or two to get some guys into place and get things going. Because there's a reason why Scott Frost took over. It's because Mike Riley wasn't any good. So you got to give him a little bit of a break. But, yeah, it's going to be some tough sledding for a little while here.
By the way, did you know that Scott Frost played for the Browns?
More games so far
yeah,
than he did as the
special
Husker
teams.
Quarterback.
Yeah. He played special teams for them. He was a safety.
Yeah, played 5 years in the league.
Yep.
1 year here in Cleveland. And he had a fumble recovery. Good job at him.
And he still thinks that they won the national championship that year. You know, he'll still argue that point. But, yeah, Nebraska's just – part of the problem for Nebraska, too, is you can't do a lot of the things they used to do to be Nebraska, and they've lost it. And the argument's correct, where Bo Pelini, you know, made the statement at the time when they left the Big 12 to the Big 10, yes, it was a good move overall, but they also sort of lost the pipeline to Texas, which they'll still get players from there, but it's not the same recruiting group that they used to be able to get. And they've had a whole slew of missteps. I mean, just, you know, whether it was the Callahan era or the Riley era, Pelini, they won 9 games every year. That wasn't good enough for them. They want to be better. They want to be back among the elite, but as Michigan and Texas and, you know, USC now have showed, it's not that easy just to, you know, get that superpower status back to form that quickly.
Pete, good stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.